Welcome to You Need Therapy, the Happy People podcast, or in more realistic terms, the mental health podcast for young adults, where we talk about everything mental health related, and we have the conversations that no one wants to have because they're uncomfortable. So welcome to the community. I'm so glad you're here, and let's hop right in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to You Need Therapy. If you're new here, my name is Emily. I'm the host of this podcast, and I am a mess, but I'm here to hold your hand while we all work through all the mental health ups and downs. If you are not new here, thank you so much for continuing to come back and support this podcast. I love you all so, 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 so much, and it absolutely means the world to me, all of you that are part of this little family that continues growing a lot more than I actually expected it to, also, I will say. But yeah, I love you all so much. If you are new here and you do not know that we start each episode with what I like to call my life breakdown, that is where I just take the first 5 to 10 minutes to just kind of catch you guys up and get you in the loop on what's been going on since we last had a chat. And it's been quite a hot second since we had a chat because let me just tell you, it's been crazy busy. And not even like in like a lot of like work or like bad busy, like good busy and like fun things, which I love, but also some like unfortunately like responsibility things. I also got sick for a little bit of a second. I had a little bit of a cold, so if I sound funny, it's because I'm getting over that. But yeah, so I'm so sorry for the delay in new episodes, but we are here. And we are back. There also hasn't been anything on social media because, again, crazy. But we're here. We're working on getting caught back up and getting it again. But also, I'm probably going to go MIA for a little bit longer because I'm about to head out to Colorado for my brother's wedding, my brother's graduation, and my 21st birthday, all in a 2-week span. So that's going to be very busy, but very fun. So again, episodes are going to be all over the place, but I will do my best. I promise. I pinky promise. Yeah, so that's that. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and get into life breakdown. And as always, if you guys want to share your life breakdown with me, or you just want to say, hey, you want a new best friend, you need to vent, you just want to send like TikToks back and forth, my Instagram is linked in the description of the episode as well as the description of the podcast. I have both my personal and the podcast Instagram linked on those, and I also have my TikTok account linked on those. There are no TikToks up. I know I keep saying I'm gonna get to them, but guys, I'm just nervous and I have no ideas and I don't know what to do. So if you have any ideas on what TikToks I should make, send them my way. Send them my way, please, because your girl needs help. Yeah, so always feel free to reach out to me on social media. I will always answer. And yeah, so let's go ahead and get on into the life breakdown. So what to share first? I've started new meds. So if you've been listening to the last few episodes, I was on Prozac for a while, but then the Prozac, she got a little out of hand. Because my therapist and my psychiatrist both think I am bipolar, and regular antidepressants actually worsen bipolar depression. So like my depressive episodes were like getting really, really bad, and then my manic episodes were getting worse, and you know, just it was just not a good time. So they took me off that, and I started 2 different meds, one for my anxiety, one for the bipolar depression, and I'm hoping they're going to fix just my entire life. I've been on them for about 2 weeks now, a week and a half, 2 weeks, and so far they're doing good. So that's that, but let's hope that they continue to work well, and if not, I am going to throw a temper tantrum because not very live, laugh, love. What else to share? There is less than a month until I'm 21, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to be able to order a fancy little grown-up drink at dinner. I cannot tell you how excited I am. I am so excited, okay? I just feel like it'll make me that much cooler. The next thing I have to share, oh my god, you guys, I'm so excited and I need everyone to freak out about this with me. Are you ready? I don't think you're ready. I don't think you're ready. I have a girlfriend. Everyone freak out because I'm freaking out. And she's amazing and the best person ever and I love her so much and I think she's listening to this because she said she was gonna listen, so hey. But yes, I have a girlfriend and it's my entire personality at this point, okay? I'm not even ashamed to admit that, okay? I have had such bad separation anxiety from her just since the second we started talking. So that's very exciting. If you wanna DM me and ask questions, and I'll give you all the tea. I'll give you all the details because I love it. Yeah, so that's exciting. What else? Like I said before, my brother's getting married and graduating college in like 2 weeks. And that means I'm going to Colorado. We fly out on the 9th, so that's very soon. I'm getting my hair done too. Oh my god, on the 3rd. Getting the hair cut and colored. We are chopping her off. And we're getting her a little more blonde, so that's exciting. And oh my god, you guys, the biggest thing, I am seeing Taylor Swift on Saturday. I know, everyone freak out, I'm freaking out too. I'm seeing Miss T-Swizzle on Saturday, this Saturday. Oh my god, and the seat's so good. Big shout out to the girlfriend. I don't want to say your name because, like, we're trying to soft launch, but it's also really hard to soft launch because, like, I just want to, like, tell everyone about her and show everyone about her, but I'm sticking to the soft launch. I'm not going to say her name, but she got the tickets and then she invited me and the seats are so good. So we're going and we have the cutest outfits and we're so excited. It's going to be so fun. It's going to be a late night. It's just going to be a long day in general because there's so many people and it's like going to take forever to get there and then leave. But, you know, we once in a lifetime. I'm so excited. So there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. Lots happening, lots of good stuff. I felt in a very good mood the past couple weeks, which is really good. Because I was in a pretty bad depressive episode, a few different depressive episodes actually beforehand. But we're getting those taken care of. We're chilling now. And, it's great. I'm feeling really good. I hope you all are doing really well. And if you're not, of course, please, please message me. And I will try to do anything that I can to help you feel a little bit better. But everyone, I hope you all remember that you are so, 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 so loved and you matter so much and we all need you here. And I hope that whatever you're going through gets easier here soon. And if it doesn't, you are so strong and you keep going. You got this. I believe in you and I'm so, so proud of you for continuing to survive because that's so fucking difficult. Okay. Can we talk about that? It's so hard to survive, especially right now in the way the world is going and just it's all feels like such a mess and it all feels really hard, but there's also a lot of good. And I hope that you remember that. And I hope that you remember that you are part of all the good that seems so rare right now, but there is really a lot of it and you are a big part of it. So I love you. But with that being said, we are going to get on into the episode. And if you didn't read the title of this week's episode, we're talking about revenge, bedtime procrastination, and sleep hygiene. So let's go and get on into it. Okay, so my beautiful friend Andrea was like, Emily, I'd love to hear about revenge, bedtime, procrastination, and sleep hygiene. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Okay, that was a lot of big words. And what does that mean? So I did some research. And I would like to start off by saying that all the research that I did and all the facts that I got came from sleepfoundation.org and their article about the said topic. It's titled Revenge, Bedtime, Procrastination. And so again, I got that from sleepfoundation.org and that article. And they had a lot of good stuff. And I try to hit like the main points and then of course relate my own stuff to it and make it a little more personal. But if you want to read the entire article, I definitely do suggest doing that. It's really interesting and it goes in so much detail and it's really, really cool. And I think a lot of people probably can relate to it. So I definitely recommend going and reading that. Again, it's at sleepfoundation.org and it's their article, What is Revenge Bedtime Procrastination? So go and read that. Anyway, so let's first start off with what it is, because if you are like me, you do not know what this is. And I think, of course, we can kind of infer from the title, Revenge Bedtime Procrastination, what it is, but let's go into the details. So the official definition is the decision to delay sleep in response to stress or a lack of free time earlier in the day. So it's, I think a lot of us do this because I think a lot of people, especially people pleasers, people who hold themselves to very high standards, we tend to delay sleep because we finally get a chance to rest because it feels like we've been going all day. And it's like, oh my God, we finally get, it's like 1 a.m, I should be sleeping, but I finally have some time to just breathe to myself. So I feel like a lot of people can relate to this. I know I definitely can. So it's exactly that. It's that decision. And so it's a conscious decision. And of course it's a habit you get into. So it becomes a lot more just you do it and you start not even thinking about it, but it starts off with that conscious decision to delay your sleep so that you can have a moment to breathe. You can read your book that you've been wanting to read. You can catch up on that show you've been wanting to do. You can just lie and scroll on TikTok. You know, it's that finally having some time to breathe. Because especially if you are like me and you get a lot of guilt from taking breaks in the actual daytime and, you know, giving yourself some time to breathe, you feel really guilty about it and you feel like you're failing and you just feel like you're the worst ever because you decided to take a break and do something that was benefiting your mental health and benefiting that, you know, fact that you need a break and you need relaxation sometimes. But a lot of us have this stuck in our mind, and this can also relate a lot to what we talked about in the last episode, imposter syndrome. It can relate a lot to that too, of that you need to be 100% at all times. And a lot of that is rooted in hustle culture that has become so glorified on social media, but it's that go, go, go 100% of the day, you know, no breaks, because that means you're failing. And A, that leads to two things. Burnout eventually, because if you don't take a break, your body's going to take it for you. It's going to force you. And a lot of times that shows up in, you know, depressive episodes, that shows up in getting sick, you know, things like that, or just this just lack of motivation all of a sudden, or being so, so exhausted that you can't get out of bed. Your body will force you to take a break eventually if you don't take it. So it is going to be better to take those little breaks on your own time than instead of your body forcing you to, and then you getting into burnout, and then it's, you know, it's way harder to get out of that. So it'll lead to burnout, and then it'll lead to this revenge bedtime procrastination, because you haven't had any time to chill the entire day at all. You've had no breaks. You've had no time to just let your brain turn to mush for a second and just stop going. Just take a break, you know? So that's going to come in that it's 3 a.m. and I should be asleep, but oh, this show, I finally get a second to catch up on it. And from the research that I was doing on this article, this habit is also a lot more common and troublesome for adults with ADHD or ADD. So if that is something you have diagnosed or undiagnosed, then this also might be something you struggle with. I definitely struggle with this, and I'm pretty sure I have either ADHD or ADD. So, you know, Definitely, I can see where that definitely may be true. But yeah, so that's what it is. And from my research on this article, it said that this habit is intentional. You're choosing to stay up late. You know, you're choosing to, instead of putting your sleep first and making that priority, you're making that free time priority at times when you should not be awake. And it being intentional makes it something that's called an intention behavior gap. They didn't really give much more on what that means, but that's what they said it was. And that sounded important to me, so I figured I'd share it. But they also said that there's a lot of research to be done on the topic. It's not something that's been looked up, you know, a ton of times. It's not something that a bunch of research has been done on. So it's still a relatively new thing. But it tends to go hand in hand with people who have kind of struggles in self-regulation or self-control. And I definitely know I have problems in that, so that makes sense. But so if you're someone who has a really hard time breaking bad habits and, you know, falling back into bad habits that you may have broken, but that failure to self-regulate and self-control, you really struggle with that, this may be something that, you know, you're going to struggle with. Is this revenge bedtime procrastination? And I'm pretty sure they didn't go into detail, to what the intention behavior gap is, but I feel like it has to do with that self-regulation, or that failure in self-regulation. I'm pretty sure that's what that means. So it's like, it says it's your capacity for self-control is really low. Just, you know, that's just how it is in your brain. It's just that's its lowest. And then that capacity for self-control is also at its lowest again at the end of the day, okay, when we're tired from the day. So if you are someone who struggles to have, you know, that self-control and it's already pretty low just in general, and then you mix it with it being that low at the end of the day and then pushing yourself all day and not having any free time, that mixture of all those things is just going to push you to that, I need to stay up and just chill for a while. And I know I do this because, like, I'll be scrolling on TikTok. It's like 1 a.m. and I'll be scrolling on TikTok and I'm painfully tired. Like, I'm having trouble keeping my eyes open and I can feel them singing and I can feel that I am exhausted, but I just can't stop scrolling on TikTok because I'm like, this is my reward for all the hard work that I did today and the fact that I never ever took a break earlier in the day. So now I'm gonna, you know, do this until 3 a.m. And then I wake up and I'm exhausted the next day and I'm exhausted while doing all the things that I'm pushing myself to do without any sort of breaks. And it's just like a very, very vicious cycle. And it sucks. Like, the more research I do into this, it sucks, guys. It sucks. But like I was saying, there's a lot of research that still needs to be done on the topic. But they did list some factors that, you know, could cause it. And three of these were something called chronotype, which is a person's natural inclination with regard to the times of day when they prefer to sleep or when they are most alert or energetic. And I thought this was really interesting too, because I've always said, and I've always been confused over the fact that I am more productive during the later hours of the day. I have never ever been able to be a person that like gets up at 5 a.m. and does their workout right away and like makes their healthy breakfast and is like go, go, go from the start of the day and then winds down, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, wind down, and then, you know, they take their break. Because I've always been that person that it's like, I'm very slow in the morning. I like to have a slow morning. I like to do my routine that I said. I like to take a while for breakfast. I like to, you know, to lay in bed. I like to have time to read, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then it hits like 2 or 3 o'clock, and that's when I'll start to feel my like wave of motivation, and that I feel that I can be productive. And then it goes from that probably till like 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock sometimes. And I've always been confused on that, but apparently that's a thing, and it's called the chronotype. And it's that your natural inclination for that time of day when you are most energetic, when you are most alert. And so, you know, there's gonna be people that prefer to go to bed way later and wake up later. And if you have a schedule, when I went reading this, I feel like it's, yes, it could be a cause towards this revenge bedtime procrastination, but I also feel like if you have a schedule that allows you to work with that, with your natural body clock, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And I think, to not to go off on a tangent, but I think that's a lot of the problem with the American workforce and the 9 to 5 and like all this stuff, because we're getting up early, then we're getting off and we're having to go to bed early. But if we don't, then we're gonna be up late and then we're exhausted the next day. So I feel like that has a lot of issues, and that causes a lot of issues, because I think a lot of people's natural body clocks or this chronotype does not align with that. Especially, I've read before, especially with women, because of our estrogen and the testosterone in our body and everything, and the way that, like with period cycles and all of that, it doesn't line up to that, and it never has. Men's line up to, you know, the typical 9 to 5 and the hustle culture a lot more due to their hormones and the way that their bodies work, but women's don't. And so if you kind of put that together with the chronotype and with all that stuff, it makes a lot of sense. And so I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that, if you have a schedule that allows it. As long as you're getting enough sleep, I don't see any problem with that, you know, staying up later and then sleeping in later. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I hate, again, more tangents going off of, I'm so sorry, but I hate when people are like, you have to be up at 5 and doing this, this, and this, and this, and this all has to be done by 8, and you have to, you know, all these things. I hate that people say that that is something that you have to do to be successful. I've always hated that, and I think it's stupid. Yeah, of course, there's gonna be some days where you have to get up earlier for some things. And of course, if you have that kind of corporate job or an office job, you're gonna have to be up early, unfortunately. But again, if you have a more flexible schedule, and I think a lot of us are getting those more often, because I think the workforce is slowly changing to go along with people's schedules better. But if you have a schedule that allows you to prioritize your sleep and to where you don't have to get up at 5 in the morning, don't get up at fucking 5 in the morning. You don't have to do that to be successful. And I hate that there is that, those are connected, your success to when you wake up, to what your routine looks like, to do you go on a 5-mile jog? Do you have this stupid protein shake in the morning? I think that's all so fucking stupid, because I am so tired of success being correlated with if you're doing everything like everybody else. I think that's stupid. People's brains work differently. People's schedules work differently. People's bodies work differently, okay? And so what's gonna work best for you is what's gonna work best for you. Do not listen to all these people yelling and trying to shove down your throat that this one schedule is the only way to be successful, because that is absolute bullshit. Anyway, that was a big tangent. I apologize. The next thing that they said that can kind of factor into this is the amount of stress during your day. So if you're at a job that you is really stressing you out and you hate, or if you just are a person that holds on to stress a lot, that's gonna push your, you know, your sleep schedule back a lot. Because A, stress really fucks with your body's like natural melatonin production, obviously, because I think the cortisol production kind of interferes with that. And then it's harder to go to sleep because your mind is running at, you know, fucking 100 miles an hour. And you're thinking all this, and then it can't just shut off and allow you to go to sleep. And then also, if you have all this stress in the daytime, you're just going to want something to chill out, you know, during the night. You're going to need that free time and that relaxation time to do things that you actually want to do. So that's going to push, you know, that time that you go to bed, that's going to continue to push it later. And then the third thing that they said that could factor into it, kind of we already talked about it, but it was that difficulties in self-regulation. So if it's that intention behavior gap, and obviously to fix that, that's a lot easier said than done, because I don't think most people have good self-regulation or good self-control. But I think doing things like little routines and stuff and starting off small and trying to build up to it and could really help with self-regulation, because I think routines are a big thing in self-regulation. So if you're a person who doesn't do well with routines or has never really had routines, I would definitely say start kind of it with like baby routines to start doing that. So those are all the factors that they said. Again, a lot more research needs to be done on this topic, but I just think it's really interesting. And I agree with it, but also again, that I think part of it also plays into that 9-to-5 and that hustle culture and that needing to go to bed at a certain time and wake up at a certain time, which obviously routines are good. Routines, and you want to have a good sleep schedule because sleep is so important for your body. But I think everyone's sleep schedule is going to be different, you know, because some people are going to go to bed at 3 and then, you know, wake up at 1 in the afternoon. And if they have the schedule that allows that and it's like they're still doing what they want to do with their life, then why does that matter? That is quite literally great. Good for you. Next. So the next thing that they kind of talked about was who is most likely to struggle with revenge bedtime procrastination. And so studies found that mostly students and women were the most likely to engage in this behavior. And that was due to daytime stress, which makes sense because students, if you're in school, school's fucking stressful and the actual worst. And that's why I didn't go to college, but that's the worst. And then women, obviously there's a lot of different factors to why women have a lot of daytime stress, way we get treated in the workplace. If you're a stay at home mother and you have the stress of children, you know, just constantly having to be scared when we go out of the house, due to the alarming, you know, rates of sexual assault and kidnapping and sex trafficking and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot to be stressed about, as a woman. And so then also if you are a woman and you're a student, you're just, man, you're just, it's just double whammy, man. They said no chance to sleep ever. And then also the studies found that the pandemic is also a huge factor, and that nearly 40% of people had sleeping problems during the COVID-19 pandemic, which makes sense because, oops, sorry, my paper. ASMR. Nice. There was obviously a lot of stress then, but I also feel like that can also be, you know, due to the fact that we all, like, were home and nobody had schedules anymore and, like, routines were thrown off and so we had nothing to do. And so we're all up at, like, 4 a.m. because we're sleeping all day because we have nothing else to do and we're not tired. And so I feel like that probably also was something that had to do with the sleeping problems, just because there was absolutely nothing close to a routine for majority of people. But there was definitely also, it makes sense because there was a lot of stress. A lot of people were stressed out and not even stressed out about the illness, but also stressed out about losing jobs, being able to pay off things, you know, protecting family members, protecting yourself, protecting your kids. There was a lot of people that, you know, were having to go to work, but then their kids were not going to school. And so it was like, well, how are we going to get them taken care of, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was so much to be stressed about during the pandemic, obviously. But yeah, so that those are some of the studies that have been done on this topic and the kind of things that are the main things that can affect and contribute, and the main group of people that are also affected. Now, obviously, there is quite a few consequences to this silly little habit that we can get ourselves into. So some of these consequences, well, I mean, the big consequence, main consequence, is obviously sleep deprivation. But when you're struggling from sleep deprivation, that can cause a lot more sub consequences, if you will, because sleep deprivation can degrade your thinking, your memory, decision making, and your physical health. So kind of it can fuck up everything, really. Obviously your thinking is going to go, your decision making is going to go, because I know I don't make good decisions when I am like painfully sleep deprived. Like I have absolutely there's not a single thought going on in my head when I'm just exhausted. And then your physical health, you're going to get it greatly lowers your immune system. So you have nothing protecting you. And so you're going to get sick a lot more often because all those walls are down. You will not have an immune system, especially if this is something that's going to go on for a long time. And then your immune system's just going to continue to get constantly attacked, and you're going to get sick after sickness after sickness after sickness, and it's just going to be not a good time. And I also think that's actually one of the reasons why I ended up getting a cold, is because this past week, like, there was just a lot going on, and I just didn't end up sleeping much, so that makes sense. I'm all putting this together right now in the moment, so that makes sense. So sleep, kids, because you need it. But sleep deprivation can make you more susceptible to cardiovascular and metabolic disorders. Sorry, I couldn't read my own handwriting. So cardiovascular and metabolic disorders. And obviously it will erode immune function. So you're not going to have good immune function and you're going to get sick. And when you are struggling from sleep deprivation, those consequences can arise very quickly. It can be like a complete 180 from one day to the next when you're not sleeping well. Because sleep is when your body is healing itself. It's restoring everything. It's like charging in your phone, you know, plugging in your phone at night, charging your phone. That's our version of that. We're completely recharging and everything is kind of going back to square one, to 100%. And so if you never have an opportunity to get everything back to 100%, you're running on 1%. And we know how our phones act when they're at 1%. They glitch, they don't work right, and then eventually they die. And not to get dark or anything, but like having proper immune function is really, really, really important. Because your body will not work well if you are not sleeping and you're not at 100%. So sleep, please, please sleep. And that leads us into a remedy, and that remedy is what is called sleep hygiene, which equals good sleep habits and an environment which kind of promotes sleep, if you will. So it's an environment that's gonna make you excited for bed and tired and just really good. And so some of their things that they put as points to what can help with good sleep hygiene is a consistent bedtime / wake up time, avoiding alcohol and caffeine in the late afternoon / evening, no electronics half an hour or more before bedtime, a stable and consistent nighttime routine, so something that's kind of gonna tell your body, hey, oh, we're getting ready for bed now, let's start kind of gearing up for sleep and getting tired. And then an inviting bedroom environment. So dark and quiet is the main two things that you want to have. You want to make sure there's very, very little light. Obviously not if you're scared of the dark, please have light. Don't scare the shit out of yourself just to have good sleep hygiene, because that's stupid. Obviously your mental health comes first, and if you're scaring yourself at night, that's not good mental health. So if you're scared of the dark, obviously don't have it dark. And then also quiet. And here's my thing with that. While I understand where they're coming from with the no electronics in a half an hour before bed and having a dark and quiet room. I get that, but also I know a lot of people, including myself, cannot sleep in complete quiet or complete darkness. Like I said, there's a lot of fear of the dark. And for me personally, and I know a lot of people that also struggle with the same thing, cannot sleep with complete quiet. My brain, it cannot go to sleep if it's completely quiet because my thoughts like to run all night then if I don't have some sort of distraction. So while I see where they're coming from with that inviting bedroom environment, also don't completely ruin your own way of falling asleep if it works for you. Because yes, while this is what the scientists say is good and is going to give you the best way to sleep, and that might be very true for a lot of people, but like for me personally, I cannot sleep without my TV on. I have to have a comfort show on or else my brain is going to go into overdrive and I'm going to start thinking about all my anxious thoughts. Those are all going to come up and I'm going to start stressing and I'm going to think about what I have to do or what I didn't do or, you know, every embarrassing moment that I've ever had in my life. My brain won't shut off if I don't have something distracting it. So while, yes, for a lot of people, the dark and quiet is going to be their inviting bedroom environment, it's also not going to be an inviting bedroom environment for a lot of people. So this is very, take all of this with a grain of salt, because everyone is different and everyone's brains are different. So like I said, take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, try to have a good nighttime routine. Try to have a consistent bedtime and wake up and try to take consistent breaks throughout the day so that you're not feeling like you have to stay up just to have some relaxation and just to have some time for yourself. Make sure you're giving yourself, if you can, some time to yourself during the day as well, because that can also be super helpful. And also make sure that, you know, you're aware if you have a sleep disorder or not, because those could also play a role as well. And that's something that you got to get checked for, because that might not be, you know, might not be able to solve that just by yourself. It might be something like, you know, you have to have meds or you have to have something certain, like something specific to help with that, because sleep disorders are also a big thing. If you have sleep apnea, if you have, that's the only sleep disorder I know, but if you have something else, you know, definitely go get checked for that. But yeah, really just try to not burn yourself out during the day to where you feel the need to stay up till all hours so you can finally have some time to yourself. Give yourself, schedule in time to yourself and breaks and time to do things that you want. Schedule those in throughout the day, because while it's important to get everything that you have to get done, it's also important to be taking care of your mental health and your well-being and giving yourself some time to just breathe even is going to be a very good for that. And a lot more better in the long run than just burning yourself out and running until you physically drop, you know? So try to get sleep. Don't listen to the hustle culture shit. You know, listen to your body clock and what you need. And if you have a schedule that allows it, that when you wake up in the morning, if you feel exhausted still and you need to go back to bed, listen to your body. I think that's the biggest thing. And while you can do all these things that all the people recommend to do and all the experts recommend to do, it's really listening to your own body and what your body needs. So that's what I'm going to say is going to be the biggest thing. But yeah, I think that's all that I had to talk about. So listen to your body. Don't burn yourself out. Fuck hustle culture. And I love you. And I think that's all I have to say. But I love you all so, 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 so much. You all matter so much. Please, please keep surviving and pushing and staying here, because we all need you. If you haven't been told yet today, I love you so, 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 so much. And I am so proud of you. And if all you did today was survive, then that is incredible. And I'm so proud of you for that, because that's really, really hard. And so if that's what you did, I'm so proud of you. And I'm proud of you for whatever you did today, regardless of if you just, you know, stayed in bed and survived, or if you ran a marathon, you know, either are perfect, because it is catered to each person's needs and listening to each person's body. And so I love you all so, so much. I'm so proud of you. You're amazing. You matter so much. And I will talk to you all in the next episode.